The Offside Rule, We Get It, is brought to you by Continental Tires.
Hi there, and welcome to the Offside Rule podcast, We Get It, with myself, Hayley McQueen, and Lindsay Hooper. And the Offside Rule is brought to you by Continental Tires. And unfortunately, Kate Borsay is not able to be here and enjoy it. Goodness me, she's on an international break, this one.
She was due it, wasn't she? You had your trip to Thailand, I went to New York, and now it's Kate Borsay's turn. We do like the crossover, we hand over the baton, and she's on her way to the seaside with her family.
Which is very, very nice. Right, there's plenty for you to listen to in this podcast, either via Audio Boom or iTunes. You can head to our YouTube channel as well, The Offside Rule TV. You can follow us on Twitter at Offside Rule Pod. And of course, our website, which is just getting bigger and better by the week. So many features, great blogs as well. Lots of Women's Super League on there. And we'll have a roundup of the season so far because it's new. We're raring to go. And Sue Smith will be coming up later. So you can follow that on offsiderulepodcast.com. So I mentioned the Women's Super League. Well, what about things that have been making the headlines this week as well? Harry Kane, as we know, made his debut in style. Lots of Roy of the Rovers style headlines, of course. And we know there have been plenty of debuts over the years. So we're going to have a look at who Harry should look to with regards to following his dream. There have been lots of names trending, of course, on Twitter of players who made a debut, came onto the scene in emphatic style and then disappeared with not another cap. Or their careers kind of went downwards after that. We don't think that's going to happen with lovely Harry Kane.
Well, the immediate contrast was with Ricky Lambert, wasn't it? Because Ricky Lambert came on in his debut, he scored, and then he sort of withered away a little bit, especially since he made his move to Liverpool and isn't getting as much game time. So lots of people saying, don't get carried away because look at Ricky Lambert. But we're going to do the opposite. We're going to get carried away and say, actually, he could end up like this.
Exactly. Now, we're also going to talk rumour mill. Lots of clubs in the Premier League linked with players. So we're going to have a talk about some of the rumours that may be very unlikely or that could be likely. Now, Nemanja Vidic, I was very excited about this, was linked with a move back to Manchester United just a year since leaving the club, of course. Him and Rio Ferdinand at the back doing brilliant things. Rio, as we know, has gone to QPR and is definitely more active on Twitter than he is on the pitch. Nemanja Vidic has had a bit of a dismal start to his career out there in Italy, and we thought maybe he just wants to come back home. I know he's Serbian, but Manchester has been home for him for quite some time.
Well, we talk about players, don't we, failing to adjust to the Premier League very easily, but I think that also happens from us. When players leave the Premier League and go to Italy, not many players settle in well. Like, look at Ashley Cole as well. He's really not taken to life over in Italy that well.
Exactly, yeah. So he moved out there. He was sent off in his debut and conceded two penalties in his opening four matches. So a really torrid time there. Unfortunately, his agent said he's not going to be coming back to Manchester United, though. But it was a rumour that got us slightly excited. So we're going to chat about some of the more slightly realistic ones and others that we think, OK, we understand where they come from, but we don't think they're going to happen. Now, great scenes this week of footballers surprising fans. I've been enjoying the Sky Sports Living for Sport Awards, which happened at the weekend, and all the build-up to that with Thierry Henry, of course, former World Cup winner, Champions League winner as well, heading to a school to congratulate one of the winners of the regions of this awards. And he turned up in great spirits, really good sport, with a wig on and some glasses to surprise this kid in class. So he absolutely loved it. Jessica Ennis-Hill was involved as well, and Darren Campbell, Nick Doherty. But we want to focus on the footballers who sprung surprises. Lionel Messi just took in the last week to social media to give a big fan of his, Brian Rossi, his latest boots. And he went to Twitter and said, here you go, Brian, these boots are for you. So we're going to have a look at examples of players from anywhere in the world that have sprung nice surprises on the fans. So there we have it.
The female take on football.
So let's first start by chatting about dream debuts. I'm going to head over to you, Lindsay, because I'm sure you've heard enough of my voice so far.
I'm sure they haven't, but I will take hold of the microphone for a little while. So Zinedine Zidane, who is one of my favourite footballers, as anyone who listens to the podcast will know, he's up there in my top three, possibly my top one. I think Harry Kane should take some inspiration from the Frenchman because he had a debut to remember. Now, to start with, it didn't go all that well. He actually talks about his debut for France. A free kick that he took, he says, I completely missed it. Then two or three missed passes that even a grandfather would have made. That's a quote from him. And to say that it went on to improve after that, though, is an understatement, because he might have had those little rusty moments, but he went on to score a brace, his first brace of his career, a stunning left foot. It was a pile-driving shot, and a second header as well. So to score a brace on your debut, pretty impressive. And we all know the career that Zinedine Zidane went on to have, playing for Real Madrid, playing for France. He really is one of my favourite footballers of all time. I think that Harry Kane could also take some inspiration from the current England captain, Wayne Rooney. Wayne Rooney is the sort of player who makes good debuts. He did so for Manchester United. I'm sure you'll remember this, back in 2004 when he made his debut, Hayley. And he scored a Champions League hat-trick, didn't he, against Fenerbahce when they won 6-2, just 18 years old. And Rooney has now gone on to captain his country, captain Manchester United. I think all round, he's an inspiration to someone like Harry Kane, who's growing up wanting to emulate his heroes. Someone that's very achievable as well. And he can also have the applauds from him in the dressing room, as he did after that match for England. A couple of other little mentions that I wanted to make. I just think these are memorable debuts for different reasons. One of them, Marco van Basten, I think because he came on in his debut for his hero, Johan Cruyff. Aww. Imagine coming on your debut and replacing your hero. And the other one, which is just quite notable, for Ødegaard Johnsen, it was both of them, it was their first Ajax performance, and he replaced his father. Oh. So his father, Arne Gudjonsson, comes off, and Ødegaard Johnsen comes on.
That's brilliant, isn't it? Okay, I have one. I was going to pick this out because I thought Lionel Messi, when he first played for Argentina, when he made his debut, was bound to have had a brilliant game, and we can draw inspiration from him to see how great he went on to be. Well, guess what? He didn't. He had a torrid time. Spain were actually after him. He was a 18-year-old, very small, as we know, hasn't grown much since, just filled out slightly. Okay, so he was at 18. Argentina were leading 2-1 at the time. It was against Hungary, and it was in Budapest back in 2005, so 10 years ago. So this little lad comes on. Spain were thinking, oh, we're going to see some absolutely class magic from this young kid who we've been desperately trying to convince to come and play for our nation. He decides to go and play for Argentina, gets his debut less than a minute in, he gets sent off. He was sent off in his international debut. And the commentators at the time said, we're not quite sure whether this kid has Maradona's talent, but he certainly has his characteristics. Little did they know that things would only get better from then on in. So there you have it.
So that being an example, Hayley, of a debut going wrong, really, but going on to be great afterwards, with Harry Kane starting off as he has, he's going to be better than Lionel Messi. That's what you're saying. Is that the prediction?
I think that's exactly what's going to happen. Yeah, I think it really is. Chris Iwuluma, who's been actually in at Sky of late, I was chatting to him saying, oh, do you remember your debut for Scott? And he was like, oh, Hayley, I can't believe you asked me this. I absolutely can't believe it. Yeah.
That.
I was like, oh, God, I shouldn't have asked him. Shouldn't have asked him. 0-0. It was back in October 2008. He actually missed. It was one of the worst misses you've ever, ever seen, from 2 yards out, completely goalie free. It's absolutely awful. And the commentary was just, he's missed it. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. He's missed it. You're having a laugh. What happened there? He missed that. Oh no. And we were all here celebrating before it went in, and it didn't go in, it went out.
I must admit though, I've done that before when watching a game where I've been absolutely certain that there's a gaping goal, you know, there's nothing in the way, it's definitely going to be a goal, I'm buzzing through saying there's a goal, no, they've missed it. It's amazing how many times that happens.
Now, what about Zlatan Ibrahimovic? Do we all know about his debut?
It must have been amazing because it's Zlatan, so it must have been the best debut ever. Did he score 6 goals?
Well, you'd think he would. Did you see that goal from him as well? Did you see that header from him?
Yeah.
This week?
Really strange goal.
Yeah, I was just thinking, has he really done that? Has he actually meant to do that? Or was it just complete fluke? Was it just luck? Was it just because it's Zlatan, he's so blooming lucky?
Probably. It's the Zlatan effect. But saying that, he does do all this yoga and he's very flexible, Hayley.
He does. So flexible that he's playing for Sweden and scoring overhead kicks. He actually made his debut. It was a bit of a flat game, actually. It was at 0-0. It was against the Faroe Islands. So you'd have thought back in January 2001 that Sweden should have actually been beating the Faroe Islands. They didn't. He had a bit of a flat first ever debut. So for Zlatan Ibrahimovic, when we thought, oh, going back to his debut, he's bound to have, you know, shaken things up a little bit. You know, got an absolute screamer in there, and that's just it. It's gone on since then, just to kind of pure brilliance from him. He played his first real competitive match in a World Cup qualifier against Azerbaijan, and he actually scored in that one as well. Then, of course, went on to the 2002 World Cup finals, eliminated, though, by newcomers Senegal. So Sweden, when Zlatan has played in big games, haven't actually done well against teams like the Faroe Islands and Senegal. When doing this research, quite a lot of the big-name players, when you go through all the captains of World Cup-winning nations, when they made their debuts, they kind of came on, had a few minutes on the pitch and just sort of potted off, and that was it. No real amazing debuts to talk about.
Check out exclusive football content daily on offsiderulepodcast.com.
So lots of clubs in the Premier League right now linked with many players. I mentioned Nemanja Vidic could have been on his return to Manchester and come and play for Manchester United again, but his agent has told Gazzetta TV that that is not going to happen. 2 years remain in his contract, and he's never regretted his decision to move to Italy, despite being sent off in his debut and conceding two penalties in his opening four games. He's still not going to come back to Manchester United with the tail between his legs. So we want to kind of run through some of the stories of players at the moment linked with teams, at some potential possibilities, and others that you just think, nah, can't see that happening.
Well, I think that about both of these, nah, I can't see it happening. But also, they're starting to fizzle out slightly. But the rumours were really cranked up to a high level surrounding Gareth Bale going to Manchester United. Also, Messi going to Chelsea, potentially.
I mean, come on. Messi at Chelsea. You can imagine Jose Mourinho is the type of manager that would talk a player like Messi into coming to a team like Chelsea, but maybe only if they're winning the Premier League, they've got a really strong side, they're going to be doing great things in the Champions League again, which they're actually not in Europe, are they? Why would Messi swap Barcelona for Chelsea?
No, I think a lot of people, though, still saying that he hasn't played in England. Would he be able to be as good in the Premier League as he has been in La Liga? I think the answer is yes, but I don't think we're ever going to see it. We're never going to be able to prove that. One of the stories that I think is quite interesting at the moment, because it could possibly happen, is a return for a player who started in the Premier League at a club, West Ham, has been around quite a few Premier League clubs before going out to Juventus. And the rumour is that Carlos Tevez could be returning to West Ham before they move into the Olympic Stadium. Now, I can see why this might have its appeal. Apparently, Tevez isn't enjoying his time at Juventus. He does miss Premier League football. He's gone on record saying that to press. He also would like to be the big fish in a smaller pond, wouldn't he? He's that sort of player. I could see him going to somewhere like West Ham, where he's going to be worshipped, where he was once upon a time worshipped, and being their star player. West Ham themselves want to make a bid as well when they're in the Olympic Stadium to be a top six side. And to do that, you need a big name. Could he be the draw? Could he be the name that gets sponsors on board, that sell shirts? I think it could be. It could work. So we'll all have to just wait with bated breath to see if this actually happens. But the rumours that are going around, and it's been reported in quite a few different newspapers at the moment, the Daily Mail being one of them, saying that the club's board are convinced they can get Tevez to quit Juventus for their final season at Upton Park. So we could be seeing him there as soon as the start of next season.
Gosh, well, we know he's not going to be going anywhere but London, because he doesn't really like England. He definitely doesn't like Manchester.
He's
gone through all the clubs up there, hasn't he, in the Northwest? So it's time to move on for him and move back. Goodness me. What about at Liverpool? And a possible swoop to steal Derby County's Will Hughes. So if Derby don't get promoted, which, I mean, they're faltering at the moment, aren't they, in their battle for promotion from the Championship being completely overtaken, it could be heading to Anfield. You thought if they get promoted, he might just stay with Derby and have a season up there and enjoy the hard work that's paid off and battling up there in the Premier League. But actually, Brendan Rodgers has been a huge fan of his. We know that Gerrard's obviously leaving Liverpool some of the bigger names. Carragher's long gone now, that they're going to bring in these young players, and he's trusted his youth like Sterling and Sturridge, and it has paid off for him. So I think, having been set to make a move last summer and he decided to stay at Derby, that he actually will be signing for Liverpool this summer. I base that purely just on my own opinion, but I think it looks quite realistic. Now, Chelsea, a team that you mention, with a £40 million bid for Raphael Varane. I'd be absolutely gutted if this happens, because I love Varane. He was one of our ones to watch, if you remember, a few seasons ago on the podcast. I would love to see him at Manchester United. He's a player that we could do with. Talking about bringing Vidic back to United, well, why not get this youngster? He's 21, coming up for 22 years old. Big, tall, strong, doing great things at Real Madrid. Yet maybe a Mourinho over a Van Gaal could talk of Varane into coming to Chelsea over Manchester United. It'll depend where United finish. Obviously, I do think they are going to make a Champions League spot. In fact, I think they might finish second in the Premier League. There you have it. I'm hoping that Jordan Henderson stays at Liverpool for many years, and that Raheem Sterling, of course, stays with them as well if they qualify for Champions League football. And James Milner, there's been talk of him moving abroad. I know that for a fact through speaking to his agent. And potentially Liverpool coming in for him as well, offering him more money than Manchester City. He wouldn't have to move because, of course, his house is right in between Liverpool's training and Manchester City's. In fact, I think he lives closer to Liverpool's training ground. So we'll have to see how that one pans out. Discussions aren't going to happen until the summer. But if Manuel Pellegrini finishes outside the top two, he's going to be sacked. So all of Manchester City's plans could go up in the air anyway.
Well, I was just going to say, when it comes to Milner, I think it comes down to whether Pellegrini's there or not, because Pellegrini likes him, doesn't he? Keeps playing him. And I don't think that James Milner would have too many complaints, unless it's sort of a wage issue, but I can't imagine he's on a bad wage. He's getting the game time. And the criticism of a lot of the big squads, big teams like Manchester City and Chelsea, is that a lot of the players who are still very decent aren't getting enough game time. But I don't think Milner can complain at the moment.
No, and I hope as well David De Gea stays at Manchester United. He's got another season off the back of this, but
he's not going
to. No, he's not, is he? No, but we're not going to be able to hold on to him. But who knows? He might have a great next season in the Champions League with United and just start to find his feet, even if his girlfriend doesn't like Manchester. What is it about these players not liking Manchester? I love it. Okay, it rains an awful lot. If you buy a lot of suede, it's potentially ruined. But anyway, we love it.
Just ditch the suede. Just leave the suede at home.
Right. Well, let's move on, shall we? And move from the Premier League to the Premier Stars currently plying their trade in the Women's Super League, of course. Women's football back up and running. So as things are starting to quieten down and come to a crescendo, quieten down certainly in the international break at the moment, we're relying on our women's football for some entertainment. Although Scotland did entertain, of course, in that brilliant win over Gibraltar. I had no doubts. Anyway, moving on. Let's find out from Sue Smith what has been happening in the WSL.
Sue Smith's WSL Roundup, brought to you by Continental Tyres.
Hello, well, it's great to be back with my weekly roundups from the Women's Super League. It's been a long old pre-season and the players have all been working really, really hard. I know they couldn't wait for the first game of the season, as I couldn't. And the first game that I actually watched was newly promoted Sunderland against last year's champions, Liverpool. It was a really tough start for Sunderland, but they managed the pressure and the game very, very well, going on to actually win it 2-1. Beth Mead opened the scoring with a good header. This girl's got a lot of potential. I seen that last year, and I'm sure that she'll score many more this season. Brooke Chaplin then scored a penalty to make it 2-0 for Sunderland. Liverpool's new centre-back Murray, who gave the penalty away, but then made a bit of amends by scoring for Liverpool to make it 2-1. Liverpool were pushing to get an equaliser, but it wasn't to be. And could say that the result was a little bit of a shock, but I have to say it was well-deserved for the newbies. Two teams who will want to build from last season and could be potential title hopefuls are Man City and Birmingham, and they played each other on Sunday. The game actually finished 0-0. Birmingham playing a lot of the game with 10 players after Frida Aisi was dismissed with a straight red for violent conduct. Her and Man City goalkeeper Karen Bardsley clashed, and it's something that you don't actually see in the women's game. Whether both players were so up for the game, and with it being the first match, emotions were quite high, but it's something we don't really want to see again. The other game in WSL 1 was Notts County. They played Chelsea. Again, both sides have brought in lots of new players, and I think that both teams, again, could potentially challenge for the title. There's a few that are up there this year. Chelsea scored first through Gemma Davidson, who actually had a really, really good game. And then only 3 minutes later, Notts County equalised with an absolute thunderbolt header from Rachel Williams. So for me, it looked like the game was going to be a draw. Davidson had other ideas. She won a team a penalty and then converted it. So that's a really good 3 points for Chelsea. It was also great to see Ellen White playing again. Her long-term injury, ACL, she'd been out for all of last season. So it's good to see that all her hard work's paid off and she played and played well. In WSL2, Reading looking very strong and Frank Kirby is absolutely on fire, which is great for Reading, but also good for England. So after two games, Reading sit top of the table and my team, Donny, were in second on goal difference. I have a feeling that both WSL 1 and 2 this year is going to be the most competitive and exciting yet. Okay, one other game to mention was Bristol. They played in the Champions League. They played the quarterfinals. They played against 3 times champions, Frankfurt. Unfortunately for Bristol, the game's finished 12-0 on aggregate. Frankfurt are a very, very strong team and one that I feel could actually go on and win the competition as a whole. I'm sure Bristol will learn a lot from this experience and they now have to forget that and prepare for WSL because it's going to be a long, old season for them. Okay, that's all for me for this week. Hopefully speak to you next week.
Watch videos and hit subscribe to our YouTube channel, Offside Rule TV.
Thank you very much, Sue. It's been all go in the WSL. It feels like we've been building up and waiting for this new season to start for ages. And we've been talking about lots of transfers and lots of kind of things happening. There's been a real shift, hasn't there, this season, building up to the new league. And of course, you're very much at the heart of it. I'm speaking to you now, Lindsay, having just put together a special programme for BT Sport, who now cover and put a programme out every Sunday, which has been a bit of a long day for you, hasn't it?
It has been a long day, and it was windy and cold and probably the worst conditions I've ever filmed in for a first opening show. We had lots of changes as well, because as you pointed out, we're trying to give highlights of the goals so people can watch them quicker on a Sunday evening. On the same day, you get those weekend's goals and come up to date with action.
I'm just still trying to get my head around the different players that have moved to different clubs now and the newcomers and those coming in. But you can find out, of course, lots of information via their official website. And we often have features as well on our podcast. If you go to offsiderulepodcast.com. And of course, lots of these players are on Twitter as well. So maybe you can interact with them, follow them on Twitter, retweet and really spread the word of the beautiful game as far as the women go. Now, I'm sure there's set to be a few surprises in the WSL coming up, but what about surprises of some famous footballers when they have sprung a bit of shock onto young fans? We mentioned the Thierry Henry for the Sky Sports Living for Sports this week. I've mentioned Messi giving his latest boots to a big, big fan, Brian Rossi, and basically tweeted a picture of it as well, which was very, very cool. This guy had absolutely no idea. I think he said he nearly had a heart attack when he found out his absolute idol had done that. So what other players from anywhere in the world have sprung nice surprises on some of the fans out there for the greater good?
Well, I'm going to pitch in straight away, because when I was at Liverpool TV, there's a show called Cop Kids, and you talked about surprising children in schools, and Daniel Sturridge went and surprised a whole bunch of kids, and that was caught on one of the shows. If you've seen that clip, by the way, it's on YouTube. I think it's had over 1 million hits or something, because there's one in particular cheeky little chappy that tries to do his dance, and Daniel Sturridge comes in behind him as they're filming and does it, and the picture on his face, he's just in absolute awe. There's a young girl as well in that, and she just drops her jaw, and she just can't believe it's Daniel Sturridge. So you can imagine these kids, you're at school, you're just having normal classes, and suddenly a player that you really admire, that you see is talked about week in, week out on the back pages in your local papers, just stood behind you, just doing his famous landmark celebration.
Now, some of these are, of course, sometimes publicity stunts, aren't they? Juan Mata was involved in one with Chelsea to promote the new Chelsea strip with Adidas. But it was still great, because he actually turned up at a school and he was filmed along with the likes of Xavi Alonso as well. And he turned up at a Chelsea fan's place of work, and he is like mad Chelsea, a season ticket holder for decades, and surprised him with a new signed jersey and invited him then to the car park where there were cameras, and they cleared the cars and they just had a bit of a kickabout. So this Chelsea fan on his lunch hour having a kickabout with Juan Mata in a car park at work.
And Juan Mata's been at it again this week. Literally just this week gone. There's somebody that works at Manchester United. I'm telling you this story off the top of my head because I read about it and someone was telling me about it in a car journey. That there was a guy that's worked at Manchester United for 15 years in one of the offices, and Mata went in to go and surprise him and spent some time with him, was having a bit of a chat, having photos taken, gave him some signed stuff.
Oh, if you follow him on Twitter, actually, he's quite an intelligent young man, Juan Mata. Might not be so young, actually, but he's younger than me. Everyone's young, really. He's quite cultural as well. He's into lots of different cultures. He likes travelling around and he likes posting pictures for his fans as well. So it's nice to see that he does actually interact.
Do you want to hear a latest Mario Balotelli story?
Oh, God. I've
in Liverpool. Honest. Have go you?
On. Go on.
Does it involve a laundrette?
It's hilarious. I love this. Go on.
No, you tell it. You tell it.
Well, he turned up at this laundrette near the training ground, right? And this lifelong Liverpool fan, Terry Johnson, happened to be working the machines in this particular laundrette, and Balotelli came in with a dirty tracksuit. He said he knew straight away who it was. He went, "Hey, lad, what are you doing in here?" And he said he wanted to know how the washing machines worked. And he needed
like
he'd need to know. And he said, I talked him through it, gave him a pile of 20p for the dryers and a few quid for the washing machines, and told him to be careful not to mix his reds with his whites. He just laughed and looked around. He said it was like a kid in a museum. He just couldn't understand what on earth was going on. He said he had a baseball cap on, a black tracksuit. He said and it actually looked like it could do with a bit of a wash or an iron. And yeah, I just think it's just so weird, but brilliant. Now, what about this for slightly more selfish reasons? Dani Alves, not just content with being Brazilian international and playing for Barcelona. Well, he's teamed up with a former Barcelona teammate, Jose Pinto, and surprised us all with a charity single. Why do they do it, Lindsay? They want pop careers as well as football stardom, and it's called Eres Especial, released in aid of a charity organisation which actually helps individuals with eating disorders. So it is great. And Eres Especial translates as you are special. And it is a little bit special. It's interesting. If you just go onto a search engine and look it up, you will find it. It's not exactly shot by Mario Testino or anything like that, or the great music videos of MTV. And it's not of the highest quality. But do you know what? It's got a great message in there and he's doing it all for charity, but he's loving it. He's absolutely loving it.
Okay, I've just got to point this out. Wasn't NME meant to be a cool thing? NME is meant to be a cool music mag, and they've actually reviewed this rap single.
Yeah, they have reviewed the rap single. They haven't given it any stars out of 10. They've decided not to do that just in case. But they were the magazine that featured, of course, Petr Cech, who was uploading a series of drum tutorials on YouTube. So we're used to seeing him in his head brace. Instead, he's got these massive big headphones on instead. And he's just there. Bit of Radiohead and whatever else it is. Bit of heavy metal that he likes playing, and he's kind of real headbanging to that. But anyway, it's very, very funny, this Alves. He sings, he raps, and he attempts to dance as well. He's got a Lewis Hamilton style doubled up diamond earrings in each ear, looking quite slick and black. He hasn't gone for the full kind of Balotelli or Alex Song sort of over the top outfit. It's quite classily done, but on a low budget. But you know what? We can't knock him too much because it is for a really good cause.
But that's what I think. They do it for charity and then you can't knock it because you feel bad, but you really want to.
A British Forces Foundation, the Sir Bobby Moore Fund, always spring surprises by raising more money every single year with the England national team. We forget a lot of the money that the England players, of course, get given for playing on international duty, get given to these charities as well. There was a huge dinner where some of the auction prizes fetched five-figure sums. There was 500 people invited, lots of wealthy guests, and the England players alone raised £362,000. Wow. And they normally surprise the people who go along to this dinner with memorabilia that you just cannot get your hands on. So every player of the England team donates something, whether it be boots, a shirt, just something a little bit special that you can't get your hands on. So that's always good to hear as well. So hopefully there'll be some Harry Kane merchandise and bits and bobs popping up for future generations to keep hold of.
Well, they do the Bobby Moore quiz, don't they, that we've been to before. So hopefully they'll have Harry Kane popping up at that. And not that we'll be in a position to bid, mind you, but we'll encourage others, shall we?
Gabby Logan got the whole England squad up, and somebody bid £12,000 to get onto the stage and have a selfie with the whole England team.
Wow. That's a great idea, you know. Isn't that a great idea to get some money in on an event?
Well, the Oscar selfie that went round, of course, the other year, do you remember, with Angelina Jolie and Bradley Cooper, was the most famous selfie picture that went viral. Well, this has got to be the most expensive. £12,000 to have a selfie with the England team.
Yeah, but you've got the whole team. Just don't hit delete, like, or have a phone like mine that just crashes all the time.
Brilliant. So there you have it. Well, it's been a very enjoyable podcast. We've had Kate on international break. We've had some great stuff to talk about with regards to Harry Kane. We didn't want to go into it too much because I'm sure those of you who are listening have been reading the newspapers with this young man grabbing both front page and back page headlines. And it's good to see that most of the headlines this week have been focusing on the positives as well of international football.
I just like to hear that he's still very humble and a really good guy and puts in a lot of effort on the training pitch. That's what we want to hear. That's what I want to read about.
Exactly. We can read more, of course, on the offsideruelpodcast.com website. Head to Audioboo, iTunes, and to our TV channel on YouTube as well, The Offside Rule TV. And follow us on Twitter at Offside Rule Pod. And of course, can't forget Facebook, can we? Go and give us a like. The Offside Rule. There's pictures on there. There's features. What more could you want? There's something for you every single day across one of those platforms.
And hopefully it'll be the three of us back together for next week.
Yeah, we'll see you then.
See you then. Bye.
The Offside Rule, We Get It, is brought to you by Continental Tires.